Do you have a favorite number? Some people do. The Apostle John liked to use seven. In his gospel, we find seven miracles, or signs, as he liked to call them, before the crucifixion. We find seven quotes from the Psalms. We find seven metaphorical I am statements of Jesus, and some people claim to have found other sevens. Well, this morning, I'd like for us to look at a couple more of those I am statements. I am the gate of the sheep, and I am the good shepherd. These both come from the same chapter, the same context in John chapter 10. And so if you would, grab a Bible, and let's be turning over to that chapter. While you are doing so, here are some sheep jokes that at least I know John Wright will like. And you're certainly free to give a courtesy laugh. What do you call a sheep without legs? A cloud. What do you call a sheep that's always quiet? A sheep. Why are sheep often considered bad drivers? Because they're always making illegal U-turns. What do you call it when you shave a crazy sheep? Sheer madness. I tried telling those jokes to a sheep, but it said, those are bad. Those are bad. Okay, now, the sheep shepherd imagery. It is actually found quite a lot in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. If you get out your concordance and you look up those words, I think you might be surprised. It's a lot more than just the 23rd Psalm. Well, as you know, I grew up in California, and while we certainly have sheep in California, it's nothing like New Zealand, where there are more sheep than people. It's not so many at the moment. It used to be quite a bit more. In fact, at one time, they had 22 sheep for every person in New Zealand. Well, like me, okay, you may not be overly familiar with sheep and shepherds and sheepfolds and so forth, but there's still a lot that I think we can get from our passage, even if this is not something that we're used to being around, something we live with. So let's start with a figure here in verses 1 through 6. We know that there were some Pharisees there, chapter 9, verse 40. But chapter 10, verse 19, it makes it sound as if there were other people as well. Now keep in mind, this is just the figure. The reality of a sheepfold, if you will. Jesus will make the application after this, and he'll draw two main points from the figure. John 10, verses 1 through 6. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the gate into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the gate is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts forth all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus spoke to them, but they did not understand what these things were which he had been saying to them. Well, you notice that some translations say gate and others say door. The idea is the same. Now, from what I understand, sometimes they'd have an actual gate, like in the village. But sometimes, when they were out on the hills in the warmer months, they would make this rock enclosure and the shepherd would sleep in the entrance and be the gate. So the thieves, well, they climb in from another way, like over the wall to steal the sheep. Now, let's let Jesus give the intended application. And the first point is in verses 7 through 10. He is the gate of the sheep. Let's read this together. So Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the gate of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the gate. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Jesus, well, he's the gate. Well, who then are the thieves and the robbers? It could be referring to those who came before Jesus, who claimed to be the Messiah. You know, in Acts 5, 36 and 37, they're talking about some of those guys. Another possibility is that throughout the Gospel of John, we find this comparison between Jesus and the religious leaders of his day. And I suspect that's who he's talking about. And so what is the implication of the gate for the thieves and the robbers? I mean, how does the gate affect them? Well, Jesus is a hindrance. They want access to the sheep, but they refuse the gate. They rejected Jesus. Like thieves, you know, trying to climb over a wall to steal sheep. Well, the sheep, they're clearly referring to his disciples, like us. And so our next question is, how does the gate affect the sheep? It's there so they can be protected. You know, if anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. He is the means to salvation. He then added, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Don't try to take the figure too far. Okay, that's what sheep need for a good life. Protection at night and pasture during the day. Now, he's talking about providing what we need. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came, they might have life and might have it abundantly. You see, the thief is only interested in himself. So don't expect good things. Jesus, he's the one who has interest in his sheep. So what is this life that he wants to give us? I could be wrong, but I think it's both spiritual life and a better physical life while here on this earth. Not health and wealth, but peace and hope and purpose and a Christian family, a relationship with God, and then eternal life with God in heaven. You say life in really every sense of the word, pretty much. That's what he wants to give us. And so with being his sheep here, are we taking advantage of the gate? Now, the second point from the figure, found in verses 11 through 18, he is the good shepherd. Let's read. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I receive from my Father. So the religious leaders of the day, they're portrayed as either thieves or hirelings. There are those who, well, they've claimed the right to have access to the sheep for one reason or another, but they're not the shepherd. Thieves are pretty easy to spot. They don't use the gate of the sheepfold. They try to sneak in another way. And hirelings, they're easy to spot. Because they're not concerned about the flock. They're in it for the paycheck. When trouble arises, well, they hightail it and they get out of there. They run for safety. They just leave the flock helpless. They're more than happy to sacrifice the sheep to save themselves. But, in contrast, what does a good shepherd do? The first thing we see is that he lays down his life. And I've read that a shepherd in that culture would sometimes, sure enough, lose his life while either fighting off wild animals or thieves, you know, fighting off robbers while trying to protect the sheep. Laying down his life, obviously a reference to him dying on the cross, in which Jesus rescued us from the clutches of sin and Satan. There's the wolf. Well, second, he knows his own. And it's said that the Palestinian shepherds, they would often name every single one of their sheep and know them really well. And he said, it's not just a superficial knowledge. It's like that between the Father and the Son. Jesus is not going to get confused about who is and who is not his disciple. He knows every single one of us. He knows those who are his. He knows all of us personally. He's interested in every single sheep. Now, I don't know about you, but that makes me feel pretty good. You see, David in Psalm 23, he didn't say, the Lord is the shepherd of the sheep. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Third, he will add other sheep. He talked about these other sheep and this idea that they're going to become one flock and one shepherd. So what does that mean? Well, it seems to be a reference to the Gentiles who are given the opportunity to come in to be a part of God's flock, which is good news for us. Because looking out, I don't think there are any Jews in the audience. I suspect that. In Paul's discussion of Jews and Gentiles in Ephesians chapter 2, he said that in himself he might make the two, and that's Jews and Gentiles, into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. One body, one flock. And of course, we see the fulfillment of that in the book of Acts. Everyone has the opportunity to be one of his sheep in this one flock. Even kin. Now, also as a side note, are we acting like one body and one flock? Well, here's another question I want to discuss. Why are we often talked about in the scriptures as sheep? I mean, why not dolphins or something like that? Well, if you do some research, one thing you learn about sheep is, well, we'll just put it like this. They have limited intelligence. They're not the smartest animals in the world. That children's show, Shaun the Sheep, it's completely inaccurate, if you didn't know. There's a reason why you've probably never heard of a circus sheep. I went on YouTube, and I found three videos with circus sheep in the title. The first one was just a sheep that ran round and round in circles. It most likely had a neurological problem. The second one, well, they had actually trained it to push a beer container with its nose, so I guess that's something. And the third one, well, it turned out to be a goat, and it wasn't even that exciting. Sheep on their own, they're pretty helpless. They need someone to look after them. Philip Keller, in his book, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23, he said, sheep do not just take care of themselves, as someone might suppose. They require more than any other class of livestock, endless and meticulous care. And he went on to talk about that. Matthew 9, verse 36, it says of Jesus, and seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Well, another thing is that sheep tend to wander and get lost. And sure enough, people, it seems, they have almost no sense of spiritual direction on their own. They're often wandering around, not knowing which way to go. 1 Peter 2:25, it says, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Sheep need a shepherd, and people need a guardian of their souls. So without a shepherd, sheep, they're easy targets for wolves and mountain lions and thieves and their own foolish devices. So as sheep, how are we to respond to the good shepherd? Well, the answer is found in verses 25 through 30. So let's read this. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Now, there is a popular doctrine I'd like to believe. And it's known as once saved, always saved. Those who argue for it will often quote this verse. no one will snatch them out of my hand. But they fail to notice the condition, because this is for those who hear his voice and follow him. Now, the words hear and follow, they're in the present tense in the Greek, meaning that they continue to hear and continue to follow. So what about those who quit hearing and stray away? I mean, no one plucked them from the Lord's hands. They willingly departed, and they're going to have to face the consequences of it. I mean, they're going to fall into the category of these unbelieving Jews, verses 25 and 26. And of course, we find many other passages in the Bible that confirm that. No one hearing his voice and following him is going to perish or be snatched out of his hands. That's the point. Now, remember in verse 4, he said of a shepherd, the sheep follow him because they know his voice. The journalist and travel writer, H.V. Morton, he once told of this incident. He saw it near Bethlehem. And these two shepherds, they sheltered their flocks together one night in a cave. And he thought, this is ridiculous. I mean, surely this is just an impossible mess. How are they going to be disentangled in the morning? How are they going to sort that out? But he said, the next morning, one of the shepherds simply got up, walked out of the cave, and called his sheep. And sure enough, immediately his whole flock ran to him without any mix-up. Why? Because they knew his voice and they were listening for it. Some religious people today are following a voice other than the Lord's. And that is obviously a clear indication that they're not in the Lord's flock. See, the Jewish leaders who confronted Jesus on this occasion, they're not of his flock because they refuse to listen and take directions from him. So the question for us, what voice are you listening to and following? Is it the voice of your friends, family, and neighbors? Is it the voice of your teachers and professors? Is it the voice of the popular media? Is it the voice of your religious traditions and your religious leaders? I could be leading you astray this very moment. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." They follow me. You see, sheep, they follow the shepherd. I heard about a tour guide who was taking a group of people on this tour in Palestine. And the tour guide was talking about the Palestinian shepherds and how the sheep always follow the shepherd. They don't drive the sheep out in front of them. And sure enough, there soon came this guy, and there were a bunch of sheep. They weren't following him, though. They were being driven out in front of the man. And really just embarrassed, the tour guide had to stop him and said, "Hey, I thought that sheep always followed the shepherd." "They do," he said. "I'm the butcher." "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." And so when you see the title gate, think of entering to be saved and to have the abundant life. And when you see good shepherd, think of protection and guidance. I am the gate of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I've read that under mismanagement, that, you know, just left to themselves, sheep can be the most destructive of livestock. I mean, they will just ruin and ravage land almost beyond remedy. On the other hand, if properly managed, they can be the most beneficial of livestock. Sometimes in ancient literature, they're referred to as those of the golden hooves. See, they produce wool and lanolin and cheese and so forth. And likewise, humans have such great potential. How foolish not to become one of his sheep and then listen to and follow him. I heard about some kind of public get-together, and this would have been quite a few years ago. And during the occasion, this actor got up on the stage and he recited the 23rd Psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd." And he did it with such voice intonation and inflection that it sounded like a radio drama. Okay, he knew when to pause, when to read faster, when to soften or raise his voice and so forth. And when he was done, boy, everyone just applauded him very enthusiastically. He then asked if there was anyone in the audience who wanted to take a turn with Psalm 23. And after a pause, this elderly gentleman stood up and he began to recite it right there where he stood. It is obvious the guy didn't have any background in public speaking or in acting or something like that. But when he recited the passage, it was done very calmly and with deep emotion. And after he finished, no one applauded. It's just silent there. And the actor, he then said from the stage, "I may know the psalm, but he knows the shepherd." Anyone can memorize Psalm 23 or even John 10. But do you know the shepherd? If you want to become a sheep in his fold, maybe you're one who's gone astray. You can fix that today. And then he will declare, as in Luke 15, 6, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost."